It is 6:30 in beautiful Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. Good evening to you. My name is Oliver Norville, and it is now time for the program, Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. As I say good evening to the man, the host, he's standing in for Sluggy Dan, and Sluggy is away. Good evening to Lou the Bajan. How are you doing, Lou?
I'm good. Ollie, good evening to you. We are once again back here in the station hosting for Sluggy Dan. You know Sluggy Dan is all about the young people, Barbados. As we speak, Sluggy is currently in Canada with a couple of our very talented artists so that they could be able to perform for the Canadian audience. And while he's gone, Sluggy has entrusted me to host the show for you. So I actually have some very interesting guests in the studio. We are here looking to have a bit of a discussion, talk about some current topics. It's like the violence that's happening in today. So Barbados, this next hour is going to be one where you want to have your listening ears in, because we are going to be some very young people here. Like, I am actually one of the older of the three young people today here, and I was the resident young person. So we really have a perspective that many Barbadians have not been hearing, like on the radio, like a young person view on some of these topics. So I really hope that you're tuning in, listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. So yes, Ollie.
Yes, Lou. Thank you for that. And yes, Sluggy is overseas. Hopefully he might be getting in contact with us via the Zoom, or he might give us a call. We will be looking out for him just in case. So, Lou, I'm going to let you introduce your guests, and then we can go right into it, my brother.
Yes. So, firstly, again, in case anyone don't know who it is, I am Lou the Bajan, a mentee of Sluggy Dan, hosting in his place. And I have two young gentlemen here, one by the name of Timon Howard, and then also we have Malachi Hope, or better known as Crow. So, I will let them introduce themselves. Timon?
Hey, good evening, Barbados. Glad to be here. Looking forward to having a productive discussion which may evoke some thoughts and emotions and paths of approaching situations that we may not have heard before.
Hi, good evening, Barbados. I am Malachi Hope, also known as Crow. And yeah, like Timon said, we just here to really talk about what's going on recently. From the perspective of some young people, some people in the youth, from very different backgrounds, and just sharing our perspectives with you guys on the island from our view.
And also, just to add to Barbados, you mean some know me as a spoken word artist. We also, these are two spoken word artists here. So maybe later in the show, we give a little something, but we starting with the discussion. So yeah, Ollie.
Yes, Lou. So obviously a lot's been going on in Barbados.
Yes.
Not only this week, but very recently. And the youth have been coming up over and over again. We've been listening to what's been going on in the call-in programs, in the newspapers, etc. For me, it's interesting because I've got you guys here with me now, so I'm going to be interested to hear what you as young people have to say and what you can contribute to the island itself. So let's start, Lou. What's going on, man? What's your view? What's your opinion on what's happening in Barbados?
So, I think it was today that we had the, it was 5 minutes of silence or something. So, Ollie, yes, I find that interesting, because when you sit down and look at the issues that are happening today, nothing that's happening today started yesterday. No issue that's on a society-wide issue isn't something that just now started. It's all things that has happened in the past that's over time and come together. So when you sit down and have that understanding that these aren't just new issues, and these issues have many effects from all different things in the past, you realize that there's no one solution to the problem. I want to start there and say this, because I find a lot of the times when these things kind of happen, people just shout out as like, oh, the solution is X, the solution is Y, the solution is Z. But when you sit down and look at the nuances of the situation, you realize this is a multifaceted issue. So I just wanted to clarify that no matter what is the problem, there's never no one-stop solution. But here we are as young people that we shall give a bit of our perspective on what is happening. So I will start a bit and then we'll pass on to my colleagues. So one thing that I noticed that is really affecting a lot of young people is, one, lack of opportunities. It is when you, because I'm a big believer in energy, like everything in life is energy and stuff like that. There are many different ways people see it as different ways about it, but we as young people who have a lot of energy want to put that energy into something. But when you don't have something positive to put that energy into, you got to put that energy somewhere. So if you say you're a young person, say that you probably like school, you wasn't the most academically sound, because you know people that are in school come out academically sound, they may get like scholarships somewhere or go off to school. But say you finish secondary school, you didn't go to like BCC or UWE or nothing like that, but you want something to do. Like a lot of the times, there are not many jobs out there, and the jobs that are out there are not the best. So I feel like that is a major factor in why there's a lot of acting out. But I can pass off to Timon.
And before you go, let's take it piece by piece, right? So you're saying opportunities. So yes. Basically, you're saying lack of jobs, lack of employment,
just lack of avenues to express yourself. Well, yeah, a job is one of the main ones, because then you get like the cash, which gives you a financial ability. I don't want to say freedom, because yes, but by having a job, it gives you the financial ability to express yourself. Say that you were like an artist now, going on stage or something like that gives you a chance to express your artistic or creative aspect. So it's not just simply a job, just things that people can put their energy into, whether it's somebody that into like playing cards, cards like CARDS, card games, or like actual cards where you got people that I have talked to some people that they love a card. They could hear the sound of a card and could tell you what the card is, the year and everything. So it's just, So when I say opportunity, I don't mean simply a job. I just mean avenues that you can express yourself in many different ways.
It's very interesting you said that. I'll just say two quick things before we move on to the rest of the guys. Mm-hmm. One is, as you've been hearing me over the last few weeks or months, I've been mentioning Trinidad and what's going on in Trinidad. And I was made more aware of that because I came across a guy on YouTube called Chris Must List.
Yes.
And he was going into different neighborhoods in Trinidad that normal Trinidadians would never dare to go in because they were, in inverted commas, so violent. Mm-hmm. Right? So this guy was going into different neighborhoods, from one neighborhood to the next, one gang against another gang. And the number one thing that the youth were saying was lack of opportunities, exactly what you just said. And another thing that the youth were saying, and I'm glad we're having this conversation, because at 50 years old, when I was growing up, my mom would have been older than me, and there would have been a generation gap. And there's that same generation gap that's going on right now, right? So I'm glad you brought up something which most mature or older people need to get familiar with, which is something that Lou mentioned with, which is something that the youth are dealing with on a very, very deep level. It's a word called energy. So for instance, for us older people, you would have grown up, you would have gone into a room and you would have felt something from the people in there, or you would have been in a room and you've had the experience of somebody entering the room and you feel something from that person. It's called energy, and that's what the youth are dealing with on a serious level. You don't even have to tell the youth anything. They will pick up on how you feel and how you think about them just through your energy. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yes.
There's a song that says, what is to stop the youth when we get out of control? Fill up with education, you're not on a payroll. The clothes on my back got countless eye holes. Could go on and on, the full has never been told. And I think, at least I can say, I think that section from that song speaks a lot to what you're talking about. Even in terms of filled up with education but not on a payroll, but some people don't even get to that step of having the education to be able to get jobs that provide a wage in the first place. So you have different folks, some of them are striving to achieve that level of education and then falling into the disappointment of not having spaces for them in the workforce because, you know, it's crowded or whatever the case may be. And persons say, well, we don't have room for you and that the market is oversaturated. Well, we still have certain industries and certain sectors of business which are lacking manpower, but still is said that they're oversaturated, which is kind of confusing and contradictory. But aside from that, you have the other aspect of, if you look at the drop in literacy rate, if you look at what happened with this common entrance and what's been going on with
another point over
the course of the years, you know, some people not even get into that level whereby the educational system is providing them with an understanding of a skill, of a concept of theoretical anything, a professional area or anything that they can make a living off of by going deeper into it, learning more, really applying themselves to it in the first place. Because many times, Malika, you could tell you more, and we had this conversation before, we give up on our young people too much, and you were telling me about it the other day, bro.
Yeah, because as me know, as someone that grew up in harsher conditions and been through violence as well, I've been stabbed and stuff before, had near-death experiences, been in wars and that kind of stuff before. And changing my life around, I realized a lot of it does be the environment you in. And if you ain't set up an environment of chaos and confusion because people are struggling to survive because they're living paycheck to paycheck and everything is just making ends meet and nothing ain't going to plan to certain places in Barbados, the water ain't even on. You understand what we're saying? So, like, all of these is things that could cause people to be angry and cause people to be frustrated. A lot of things that I was doing, it was a result of things that was going on at home or my own emotions I was figuring out as a teenager growing up that I didn't really fully understand yet, right? So all of these things is really play a major factor into the anger and into the rage you're seeing within a lot of youth, because I don't think it's just something with the youth as well, because it could go to many different ways where you don't know what's going on with that person that snap on somebody, what's going on with he at home. You understand what he looks like at home, right? The people that gang and trying to rob and that kind of stuff was in situations like at home, right? I hope we can make it better for these people, because trust and believe, a lot of we that was in situations like that, and a lot of people that currently inside the ghettos in situations like that, it's not necessarily what I want to do, or it's not necessarily what I'm about. Sometimes it's all to know. So the same way how you're saying, like, we're giving up on people too early, because you could pull somebody out of them situation and change their life around completely, and in a matter of like 2-3 years you will look and see that person and can't believe it's the same person.
And you really touch on something, because a lot of people, I find, Ollie, does say like, oh, these people on the block, whatever. So, but you got to understand, for a lot of people that are there, they simply had no other avenue out. Like, a lot of these people, because when you sit down and think about it, think about the stories here of, like, a single mother that got work, like, 2 jobs to feed their kids. Now, we have all heard that story. But when you look at the other side of that story, those kids that she feeding, what those kids really want is just want their parent. But their parent has to be out there to feed them. And then when you look at it, it's like, they're not getting the love and attention that they want and need at home. So, like, what they do, they go outside. They look for it. And where will somebody that is young be able to find something like that? People laiming on the block. Well,
and I was saying, because it got the peace too, where I was remembering, because it just reminded me so vividly of what I was saying. It's a piece where I was asking if you really believe that the 12-year-old boy that inside the ghetto puffing splits and rolling dice because his parents can't watch the child in order to support the child is just a delinquent, right? So it's get to that stage, because if your parents go to work 2 jobs to keep the lights on, or your parents go to work every day to keep the lights on, who gonna raise the child? People that say it's a village, but evidently we could see all the time people that discard of a child from the time he hard ears, from the time he about 8, 19, and they ain't listening to say, well,
that, he ain't no good. That's the thing too. And just to, I want and just wrap up that one point, is like, another thing too is people does, what people don't know that never seen like block life or stuff like that is, ultimately you in the headlines you see all the bad, you hear somebody get jerked up or something, so you all see all the headlines. But on the day to day, there's a sort of like underlying brotherhood or sisterhood for people on the block. Like, even though it don't be perfect, it does be some kind of care and affection that these people just only have that place to turn to. These are the only people that see them as people, because a lot of times people don't even see them as people. So yeah, Ollie.
I'm
gonna say one thing on that as well. Something that I heard a gentleman who apparently was a former gang leader, he spoke to how sometimes persons will use that same longing for a sense of belonging to initiate persons in gang activity.
Of course.
100%.
You will show a friendly face, you know, they will show them that care, they would give you a 200 here, they would give you some food here, and then you know, give you this care and
of
stuff.
Of course.
But then at some point in time, yeah, come you put in some work, you know.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself in a situation where now you're trapped in a
cycle.
Not just a cycle, but trapped with the grips of reciprocity.
Yeah.
Because this person has shown you kindness.
That's
like
another thing.
They have made your situation better than it was before.
Yeah.
Like they came into your life, and because of what they've done for you,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? You're in a better state than you were before. So
yep.
even if what it is that they're telling you to do ain't necessarily for your benefit, or is it something that goes in line with whatever moral virtues
mm-hmm.
you may have right now,
mm-hmm.
you feel like
you need to
hold him.
Yes.
Because of what's happened.
How old are you again, Timon?
20
years old, Barbados. Mm-hmm. 20. And listen, Barbados, I really hope you're getting the chance to listen to this evening, and I hope you call other people and get them to tune in this evening, because all during the week, we've been hearing from the older people making contributions. We have young people, 20 years old here. And Timon is somebody who wants to be a radio announcer. He's a Christian, and he wants to get on a Christian radio station, and you just heard from him. That's 20 years old, Barbados. So as I said last week, I find in Barbados, we tend to live in bubbles, right? And there's not a lot of zooming out. We all fix and focus right here in front of us instead of having the ability to zoom out
mm-hmm.
and look from a different perspective. So I've been listening to you guys about
mm-hmm.
blocks and stuff. You know what came in my mind is I came here in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
I was 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little bit of an observer
mm-hmm.
witness kind of mentality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was alarmed at what we call rum shops. I was alarmed at how many rum shops there were across Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, a block is just similar to, what's the difference between a block and a rum shop? And if we don't mm-hmm. want blocks with young people gathering,
mm-hmm.
why do we have rum shops with mainly men,
mm-hmm.
older men gathering? It doesn't kind of...
The same actually... Often more than not is like you just move from the block to the rum shop. Eventually, the older you get less comfortable with the fast life for the block, the gambling, that kind of stuff, and then you get more comfortable with just being inside the rum shop and breezing.
Wow.
Because it's very much, I've seen growing up inside the place, you would see the young boys on the block, but you got rum shop, they got men at that rum shop all day.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, just as delinquent as the little men
yeah,
up on the block.
Yeah.
Just by rum shop all day.
Blocks being
yeah.
around from your rum shop, like around the corner.
Right around the
across
corner.
The street,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The same vicinity.
Yeah, so here's the thing now. We sit down and we had a bit of a conversation about what is the issue, but I believe that in this country, we will be better off if people start looking for solutions. And I don't mean simply top-down solutions, because everyone has this, let me not generalize. A lot of people have this opinion that any problem in the country is the job of the government. But my belief is, at the end of the day, everybody that lives in this country on some level has a responsibility of trying to make a better place. So what I would like now is we can start a little more discussions about what an everyday person can do. Not that you can change the system, but you got to understand a society is made up of people. And if one person help one person, Ollie, if every person that you, like say that you are a person, you help one person and you can get other people just to help one. I'm not telling you to go and adopt an orphanage or nothing. So it's like, what can an everyday person do?
Yeah, but for me, that's not how it is though. So for instance, like for me, I remember talking to a lady who listened to Voice of Barbados. She's she's very mature. She's older than me. I think she's about 70 or 80.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having a discussion and she basically told me that the way that life is dog eat dog.
Mm.
So why am I going to want to help you if I'm being taught that dog eat dog? So there's a little bit of a paradox here and a little bit of a contradiction, because Barbados is supposed to be a Christian island. And the main teaching, one of the main teachings of Christianity is do unto others. And you can't be doing unto others if I'm thinking about eating you. Now, not only that, Lou, I've never seen a dog eat a dog yet. So there's a lot of stuff I'm finding out since you get older, that there's a lot of stuff that we say that makes absolutely no sense.
You're right. You're
right. You see where you're coming from? It doesn't make any sense.
Fair enough. Maybe because I'm young and I like to call myself a cynic optimist. Like, for me, I always hope and believe in the best in people, but I don't be surprised when the bad goes on. But it's like, for me, even though the world seems to be all negative. If I can do one thing to try and help, it's like, here's, let me lay it simple because there are levels to this, but as simple as, say that you're a person that, say you're more of an older capacity and you just walk past like somebody, like a young person, you see young people, just one day, maybe leave home a little 15 minutes early and stop and have a conversation with one of those people. As simple as that. Even if it's not like to ask the whole story, it's like just ask a question, maybe like talk about something. Like if I believe if we can start small, like just humanize, because I think the big thing of one of the big problems is this demonizing of people. At the end of the day, everyone this is a person. So it's like if you can do like something as have a conversation with a young person, I feel that we can start making the moves, get there. But I'm not the only young person here on panel. So
add to that, mm-hmm, too, cause similar a lot, you know. We always say, oh, the young people doing this and the young people doing that. And they just want to remind all the adults here listening that we do not raise ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Say that again. Say that again
we
for them
to
hear.
We do not raise ourselves. Mm. So everything that we doing wrong, when you looking at why we doing it wrong, you got to look at the current state of the world. Who's the politicians? Who's the politicians running the world? Who is the people in control of the apps we using? Who is the parents of the people that doing the crimes or whatever? We gotta look at these and really look at what this whole thing is as a whole. Start thinking that is the youth just walling out, because clearly throughout history, crime ain't necessarily name new. You understand what he's saying? Like, we've always got little spikes of this crime and that kind of stuff. This isn't something that this young generation is the problem or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? There's a greater issue at play, and y'all, I'm pretty sure we could figure it out if we was to get together.
You know, it's so interesting you say that. I remember we had a young lady here last week, and there's so much that the older generation, if you really want to help, you got to learn. You really do have to learn, because there's you can see that a lot of people are out of touch with the youth and actually with what's going on.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you were just talking there, and it brought back the young lady who was here last week, Lou, who was talking about.
Yeah.
Seeing things on TV and in the internet about what's going on worldwide in terms of wars, that's for instance, in terms of Israel and Gaza, and being affected by it.
Yeah.
And all the people would not necessarily understand or appreciate where they're coming from, because when they were growing up, you weren't constantly bombarded with those visuals and those audios. In fact, the reason the Vietnam War really ended was because the journalists and the media were now starting to portray how many Americans were being killed.
Mm.
And they were showing them images of what was going on in Vietnam. Mm. And the Americans said, hold on, enough of that. Too much of our American guys are coming home dead. We gotta end this here right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that's going on in front of the youth that they're seeing, and it's affecting them. And I think that the older generation is not really appreciative of that. I heard a gentleman this week talking about capital punishment. He was talking, he called into the one of the call-in programs, and I know him, he's a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it showed me how out of touch the older generation is, because capital punishment is if somebody, let's say I go and kill somebody, capital punishment now gives you the right, or the courts the right to kill me, to hang me for the crimes that I've committed.
Mm-hmm.
But first you must really ask the youth, do they care about, some of the youth, do they care or value their lives enough to worry about capital punishment? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of youth out there who, do you think that my life really matters anything to me by you threatening to kill me if I kill somebody? No, it doesn't. So I don't, you know, I see that as an old way of thinking, because, okay, let's say capital punishment, and that way the youth ain't going to kill anybody anymore or beat up anybody anymore, because then they'll think that they're going to be killed. The youth don't care about their life. A lot of them don't care about their life anyway, so it's not going to matter.
Here, I can put another side of the coin to that for you to understand. It's like, when you grow up and you've been in this lifestyle and you like see people older than you, way older than you, in the same position as you, and realize that you don't got no opportunities. There's no opportunities. A lot of people see you less than. It's like, okay, if I lose my life, it wasn't a life worth living. It's not that they don't care about their life. They have nothing in their life to truly care about. But
that's so true.
I'm going to take this moment to shout out an organization by the name of Echo Nation. And recently, this week actually, they had a resilient youth camp. And basically, it is a Christian organization, So the first value that they spoke about in during the week on Monday would have been valuing God. And then they would have proceeded throughout the rest of the week to instill the idea of valuing your mind, your body, valuing your future, and valuing others. And over the course of the week, you know, I was pleased to see the growth, even though it was a short time period, the bit of growth that was seen in those young persons, because it's strange. They seem not that strange, because I find it with myself even sometimes too, so I can't say it's strange entirely, but I say it's even more amplified in them, where sometimes we are not good at something immediately, and then you may just find the inclination to, I'm not good at that, so it's not for me, because the instant gratification is not there. The instant gratification of, okay, I'm good at this thing automatically, yeah, I can do this. But when there's any friction in our activity, it's like, okay, so one, I'm going to give up because I don't want to feel bad by not getting through this all the time. Two, I don't want the people around me see that I'm not good at this, because then maybe they might make fun of me. Mm-hmm. And three, the negative self-talk of like, maybe I might never be good at this. So if I'm not good at it now, what's the point of continuing trying? And to make the connection to what Lou was saying just now, I find that happens sometimes even in the education system. So in going through school, you feel like, well, I'm not getting it, so what was the point? And then in learning skills, well, I'm not getting it, so what's the point? And applying for the job, well, nobody in, like, I ain't got the education, I ain't got the skills, like, nobody looking for me, so what's the point? So I'm going through life, but here, well, I ain't good at nothing, so what's the point? So at every single level, like, you train for instant gratification and you don't get that instant gratification because there's something called a learning curve. But when you don't approach the learning curve, you just stuck at square one. And so you don't get to further or better yourself in any way that then you able to climb that ladder or reach the heights that you want to reach, or even see a way to smash the glass ceiling, because you just there lying on the floor and it's like, what's the point of even standing up and trying?
And that is the case with a lot of us. A lot of people that interact with, a lot of young people, a lot of people that ain't in my circle and stuff. And when I mean a lot of these people, Ollie, won't be necessarily people that got bad upbringing or ain't sad together or anything. So some people that got like two stable parents and that type of stuff. A lot of we just say like, we don't really care to live. And we just don't like, was really the point, right? And that's with people that got a nice upbringing. Wow. So I just can imagine it with some of us inside the poor, that inside the ghetto and that type of stuff, where your mother just struggling and you ain't seeing the way out of that hole. You seeing people working every day and then still struggling every day. Yeah. They still complaining every day. They still feel bad every day. If you ask them how they're doing, they're never saying the good, they're always saying the third. You understand what you're saying? So when we looking at that, and we ain't seeing these people like getting a car out of it, or getting a house out of it, or getting a better life out of the situations them in. The life that we was told is the life to live. Go to school, get your education, get a job, learn a little trade, hopefully you'll be able to get a house, get a car, that kind of stuff. That don't seem realistic in the current society we live in. So a lot of times we just be like, well, what's the point?
I agree with you. I mean, for me, listening to some of the public, it makes it seem as if the older generation have it so perfect and have the situation so perfect. And that's not true. There's a lot of companies out there, privately owned companies, who are, cause, as I said, I came here in 84. So I would have come up in, like, let's say the 80s. I started working in the 90s. And there's a lot of companies that are out there right now who are not as, let's see the most diplomatic way I can put this. they're not as caring about their employees, maybe, as they used to be. So there's a lot of men and women that are going home offset because they just got unfaired at work.
Workhorses.
You understand? They're getting unfaired at work and they're coming home. The children seeing it and it's like, whoa, so I got to grow up now to go through that. And you're witnessing somebody that you love suffer. You know, so we're getting on as if we the adults have it perfect and we got it made and we have everything set up correct for the youth, and we definitely do not. I mean, as I said here many times before, while I grew up here in Barbados, this is something I was told. I didn't come to Barbados and make this up. I was told, man, if you get a job in government, you ain't gonna work so hard. You could do this, you could do that, you could do that. Mm. And then sometimes we as Barbadians call a lot of government places and the phone rings and rings and rings and rings. Nobody answers. And you're wondering why. Sometimes you wonder why some of the service is not as good as you expect. When you're basically training your population that it's an easy job and you don't necessarily have to do this and do that. So it's kind of like insanity in a way, because you're saying it's like you're living with blinders on. You know what I mean? And we got to be able to take it off. I wanted to ask you guys something else too that I was thinking about before we came to the program. I'll tell you the reason I asked you this after. Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes.
You do have a girlfriend. Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes.
Do you have a girlfriend, Lou?
I have a friend with potential for more.
And the youngster at the back, do you have a girlfriend or brother?
Yes, please.
Okay. Because what I'm realizing in terms of the youth too is love. Love is totally different in 2024 than it was. And when I was growing up in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, it's totally different. So for me, I'm kind of surprised that you guys are saying that you have girlfriends, because I'm not seeing as many relationships between the youth as there were when I was growing up. So for instance, you say you got girlfriends, right? So when I was growing up, for me to have a girlfriend, I had to literally ask the girl, would you go steady with me? Or would you go around with me? Do you guys do that? Or are you just given, well, you are my girl, I'm your man?
Okay, firstly, Ollie, you did not have to come up blind, say all of us like that. Barbados, we did all this.
It happens, man.
But, okay, so I can answer this question in a diplomatic way like you do. In Barbados, there's a big lack of relationships, but only there's a glut, an overwhelming majority of situationships.
Aha.
Relationships and situationships are two different. On the surface, they may look the same, but it's different. And there's many ways you can look at what that term means, but for a lot of people, especially since VOB is more older population, may never even hear that term, think of a situation like, it's not that you actively made a decision to get in a relationship. Say that you have this friend you talk to and then you just find yourself in a situation. It's a situation. It's not like an active choice. You find yourself in a situation. So I'm saying that to say there are very few like relationships these days. There are many situationships. Correct. Yes.
And you see it with the older folks too. You know, we live on an island. And marriage, I find there's not as many weddings as when there were when I was in the 80s and the 90s. People are not even getting married. And these are the older generation. So I say that because I find when I was young, a lot of my thoughts was filled with love. That's I can be honest with you. My brother was older than me. He listened to a lot of love music. And that seemed to be the thing when I was growing up. You know what I mean? Everything was love music here, love music there, love music. So a lot of my thoughts sometimes would have been, if I went to school and I saw a girl and I thought she was cute, man, I'm thinking about her the whole day and the whole night, and I'm hoping for opportunity to get to talk to her. So what I'm realizing with the youth is that maybe it's not like that. Maybe it's not as...
Ollie, I ain't gonna lie to you. You see the same thing you was talking about with marriage. The problem where we've got a lot of situationships too is because a lot of people scared to commit, right? A lot of especially as young people, we view it as, even me somewhat, a lot of times when I do be going into a situationship or a relationship or a friendship, whatever you call it, I just go with a perspective that instead of the back of my head, I don't even think that I is the only person she talking to, right? So even your perspective from like back inside the day, you was inside of a town or inside your neighborhood, whatever. Chances are they only got a select few men inside our neighborhood around your age or whatever, different things like that. We got social media. There's Instagram on this small little island. I know we're in Barbados here far. So you as an individual male or female, you competing with not just the people inside of your area, not just the people at your church, or not just the people inside your neighborhood, or wherever it is, you competing with whoever on Instagram and that kind of stuff too.
And that doesn't limit to just Barbados, you know.
Exactly. This is a worldwide thing. So showing that, and Instagram, people just filter and show the best selves on Instagram. So people seeing you, she can see what you a little bummy. She can see you on your down days. Meanwhile, the person she's seeing on Instagram, she always seeing the flashy stuff.
The highlight reel, as I like to call it.
Right? So automatically, some of us, we think there's no way that I is the only person she talking to. Mm-hmm. And I think I talked to a lot of girls at this thing likewise that I got harmed he before I got harmed.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right? I heard that.
So that lack of commitment is saying that very serious because a lot of we scared to get hurt. One thing that I remember saying a lot too in my younger days is I scared to look foolish. I ain't gonna be out here claiming I boasting a girl too much for then I find out I getting harmed. Somebody gotta tell me you talking about that girl and thing and she harming you, I gonna feel so bad. Yeah. Ain't happening to me.
Yeah.
It's not happening to me. So a lot of the times if I get in a situation, I kind of be cautious of that till I believe I could trust you to that extent. And even then, you could know somebody for a year and don't know them.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's heavy in this era. Like, and you even called out the social media thing, technology mm-hmm. as it's progressed. And there's a lot of, not just in relationships of that nature, but distrust and loyalty, you know, or distrust or lack of loyalty or fear of unloyalty mm-hmm. in various situations and connections that you come into play with. So friends, other persons as well. So I definitely heard that before, like I gonna harm them for them harm me type rhetoric. I have a biased perspective, obviously based on my upbringing and my own personal values. So in terms of the marriage aspect, that's like end goal for me. Like marriage would be the end goal and a healthy marriage that lasts, you know, until death do us part type thing. And I know a lot of people that would gaff me for that for sure. Directly, it has happened before, but I still think that's the end goal. However, even still myself, I just battle with the I find it hard to believe that he's the only body you're talking to for real. Because of the same thing with social media, because of the same thing, it's so easy to ask other people. Like, you sure? Really?
Sure.
You sure? Mm-hmm. And you didn't mention the body after me last night. You sure?
So I want to ask you a question. As young men growing up, what have you seen with the older generation? What have you witnessed where that's concerned?
It's a lot of the same confusion though, I can't lie. Mm-hmm. With a lot of people, at least my parents' generation that I see like 40, 50, probably going on to 60, you know, I seen a lot of that same confusion. Like, and a lot of the times it'd be very, like people would be cool until the baby come or until the child come and then you would see a lot of things like start to go left. That's one pattern that I always used to notice and I always used to wonder why, right? So I don't even know if that's play a factor into what we see now. Mm-hmm. How many of us young boys grew up with a single mother? That father left. Or mother done with the father or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that would instantly go into reprogramming into the situation thinking, well, clearly families don't last as long.
I wanted to quickly add, the thing about it is when you sit down and think about the people that are adults now, how many of them grew up in single parent household, or even if it wasn't single parent household, how many grew up in a household where the parents were married, but something along the upbringing, they got divorced? And it's like, when you have so many people that didn't have good role models of what marriage looked like, and the marriages that they saw was divorces, like, why would they go through that? All marriages and fail. Like, that's another factor that comes into play.
That's interesting.
You were saying
perspective for sure. What I was saying would have been that. That's really interesting perspective. but I was going based off of what Malachi had said before. I actually lost track a little bit.
No problem. He was talking about what he sees in terms of around him with the older generation, in terms of relationships.
Yes.
To like a baby come to leave and that kind of stuff.
Right. And so I was saying what he was saying and then also going back onto what I was saying in terms of value systems and even going back to the Equination thing. I think that our values have shifted as well over the course of time. So based on seeing all these things that Malachi talking about, Luke talking about, a lot of people now use relationships more instead of looking for long-term things. It's more a short-term thing.
What you can get in the immediate sense.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that ties back into what we was talking about before as well in terms of the instant gratification and how we're praying for that as well in this era. So a lot of it is socialization and societal state. I think that's kind of would be a nice caption essentially for this entire interview. or this entire session, because we spoke about the violence and crime and stuff like that, and the societal issues that play into that, whether it be poverty, unemployment, so on and so forth, as well as the home environments and then the block environments.
Yeah.
Right? Because the law of environment, you only grow in environments that are conducive to growth.
Yeah.
And if the environment that you're in is not conducive to that, or it does not facilitate that, it does not make that possible or readily available, then you're not really going to be growing.
Before you go, Lou, ladies and gentlemen, this guy is 20 years old. Tion Howard, he's 20.
Timon
Howard, he's 20 years old. Sorry, Lou.
Yeah, no, you say we have a caller, Ollie? Yes, hello, welcome to Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. I'm your host for the evening in place for Stuggy Dan, Lou the Bajan. Yeah, you're live on air.
Yes, good night to everyone.
Good night,
sir. It's great to hear you young people on stage. I like a lot of what you're saying. But there is a dimension I would like to add to what you've been saying.
Okay.
Now, well, before I make that point, let me just say this, that school is now over, and the older folks at school will now be what we say is superannuated. They will not be going back to school. And these are going to be numbered in the thousands. There are thousands of young boys and girls in the 15 or 16 years old will be leaving school. Secondary school, and they'll be looking for alternative things to do. Some would obviously be enrolled at the tertiary institutions like UE, BCC, etc., and Polytechnic. Yeah. Now, over 1,000 of them will be rejected. They're not going to be rejected. Not all of them will be rejected because of lack of qualifications.
Interesting.
It's just that there are a limited number of spaces available for young people. Right?
Yeah.
Some obviously can't get in because they don't have the minimum requirements for entering. But every institution requires qualifications, for example, polytechnic skills training and so on, don't really require qualifications. I know, listening to the call-in programs, that people do make that point that the polytechnic now requires a lot of CXCs and all that, but that is really a myth, because all the polytechnic requires for you to get in there for the average course is to take an examination, right? You take an English and math, very simple exam, and if you pass it, you have a chance to get in. But that alone can't get you in because there's still only a limited number of spaces. So if everybody passed the exam, you still can't take everybody.
Yeah. So
the question is, what are 5,000 young people going to be doing who are rejected? Now, a lot of people are complaining and saying the young people don't want work. They just want a line on the block. But that can't be absolutely true. There will be some like that. But if they applied at the institution and they didn't get in, you cannot say that they didn't want to do anything. But because they applied, apply means that they made an effort. They tried, but it is hopeless. They couldn't get in. So the alternative would obviously be the block or stay in the house when they come. So you cannot fully blame the young people for not occupying themselves.
Yeah.
I would agree with you, sir, and I would say, from coming here in 84 as a witness, Barbados is too much who you know, and there's too much nepotism in Barbados.
Yeah.
So as you said, so many children coming out of school and they can't get jobs. Look at your daily newspapers, listen on the radio, go on social media and see how many jobs and vacancies are advertised compared to the amount of people that are looking for work. It's crazy. I'm 50 years old and I can tell you it's hard for me to get a job. So if it's hard for me to get a job, what about the youth that are not coming out of school? So thank you so much.
Correct. And the thing is though, and this is the point I want to make just know that is a hell. Because one of you said that you cannot put it to the government to do these things, right?
Let me just start. Shows like this,
and even some that you have during the day, are good shows. But at the end of this show, because you say that everybody's responsibility.
Yes,
that's what I said. Mm-hmm. But at the end of this show, you're not going to reach everybody because everybody's not listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And even if everybody was listening to the show, at the end of the show, everybody's not going to pull the weight.
I think we lost him, but Barbados, it's currently 7:16. We want to kind of, I remember I said I want to give a little piece, each of us will perform.
I'm going to come to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with him. Not everybody is going to want to come on board.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants everybody to come on board.
So, Timo, you were saying something?
I think I heard you a little strong on that last part, so you could go in terms of, I heard you say you don't like to hear,
because
you
know that
they don't want,
like,
job.
I said, I went through a lot of stuff, man. I was trying to work from the time I was like 15, you understand it? So like, my mother was telling me get a job from early, and I could remember going to multiple places, like talking about Jardins, Eddie's, all kind of stuff. You send in a new application and the people saying they need experience. The people saying they may hire in right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fresh out of school, what experience you have, you ain't got no experience.
Mm-hmm.
The one job that I really had a long time experience working at, doing porter work, I got that job because I knew someone that knew someone within that establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was able to get my first solid paying job. Every single job I've ever experienced, all of my odd jobs from when I was a teenager, working masonry, working construction, landscaping, whatever odd job it is, that was because I knew somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what you're saying? Every time I went to a stranger asking for work, most times it didn't get through.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying with the nepotism and is more about who you know, that is ringing very, very true, because people be very selective of who they choose to hire.
Something that struck me just now is nepotism may work better in a society where you have strong communities. Because if it is that you're pulling from people in your community, that's not a problem if there is connection within those communities.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have quote-unquote communities or neighborhood areas, rather, or social groups, whatever the case may be, where there is not that connection, then a lot of people are in the same space and don't know the people that are in the space with them. And so the same people that maybe 50 years ago you might have known the person, you ain't gonna know them now. So they may be calling you now because they don't know you. So I think that the nepotistic model maybe has outlived itself in terms of seeing how our culture itself has become so disconnected as well. It doesn't facilitate that kind of
It doesn't work, because let's say you're a youngster coming up.
Yeah.
And snow, you're already interested in snow, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of companies in Barbados that sell snow, right? You go overseas, you go and you study snow, you want to sell snow, and you come back here. But you can't get a job because the person who owns the company, their children, who didn't go and study, have to get management and upper-level roles because they're their children. So you are there studying snow because you like snow, but you still can't get, to work with snow. And you see it in Barbados all over.
Definitely.
I hope I had an aspect to it too.
I just want to say, we have 5 callers.
Oh, wow.
So we're gonna talk to 2 right now. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, good evening. This is Anthony calling.
Yes. Okay.
There's one important issue when you're doing your career that you all never remember losing. And it is that we have to deal with people at the individual level.
Mm-hmm.
And in this country, we don't have the capacity to deal with each person at an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
Or we don't demonstrate, pardon me, the capacity to deal with
that
each person at the individual level. Mm-hmm. That's the only way success is going to come.
That is very true. Everybody got fear,
that's the only way you can get these people on the block to pass. If those people at the individual level, you'll be able to encounter what is going on because they have done it already. And that's why I'm saying it.
That is very
Thank
true.
You so much. Thank you so much,
sir. The circumstances that people go through are not able to present themselves for the general situation. Sometimes you have to go way outside of the general situation to make that person ready.
Yeah.
And we're not willing to do, many of us, sorry, are not willing to do that.
Yes.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, yes. Next caller, please. Since we
good evening, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening, ma'am. You there?
Yeah, thanks to everybody.
Yes, sir.
I found out, I remember when I was at university, one of our prime minister who's now dead, he said to us, when you all leave university, there will be no jobs for you all. Yeah? You have to go into entrepreneurship. So we had to do entrepreneurship. And I had a job at the time, but I was temporary. Yeah? The thing about it is, I never get a job by application, yeah? I wanted to be a teacher, and I couldn't get a job as a teacher, but I went and did the nursing exams, and I got through. But when I realized what it was all about, my mother said, I want you doing that, yeah? So therefore, one day I was walking, and a man that owned a leading restaurant saw me, and he said, you will do good in our restaurant. And I said, I don't really want going to that. I tell my father said, well, you better take it or not, you're going to end up in Swan Street cutting cloth. He said, not me. And I went, and you know, that I work 4 hours a day, never get 40 hours a week for a whole year. He said, see me? I am about this. And a man came in the restaurant, and I said to him, I want a job here. Yeah? This certificate thing ain't working out. Yeah? And he took me to a leading restaurant, a leading hotel.
So you find it's like that these days, ma'am, or it's different? You find it's like that these days, or it's different?
You have to know people to get jobs. You don't get jobs, so people have to recommend you for a job.
So what we tell our children about going to school, get a good education, and you'll be able to succeed in life and get a good job.
It's not realistic.
Everybody don't tell the children so. Yeah?
They don't. Who has a child that's going to school to learn, to be educated, to get qualified, they don't tell their children that there's better waiting for them and equal opportunities.
The thing about it is, my father said to me, go to school and learn and try and work for yourself. Because when I was 12, I was working in the business. You understand? And I get experience from working in the business. I know what hard work was all about.
Right. So, quick question. He had a business?
Yeah.
Okay, so you worked with him, family business?
Definitely.
Yeah, it was a family business in different areas, right? And I realized this thing called work was hard, yeah? I wanted to go there and work for somebody. And my father said, it ain't going to pay off in the long run because they can get a labor. And when you reach a certain age, they're going to want you to go find somebody else and stuff like that. And I realized that. But, you know, it's difficult for the young people to go there and find work. Work is not easy. And sometimes you have to take what you don't want until you get what you really want.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't get anything. You know, sometimes you're talking about take what you want until you can get what you want. But sometimes you can't get anything. Thank you so much for your contribution, ma'am. Good evening, Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme.
Sorry.
Yeah, hi, good evening.
Sorry, hold on one second. I think Team One has to make a contribution.
I think that that's also an interesting thing because you would see in many of the more Indian families that come across, like they have their family businesses and stuff, and you have the young fellas and stuff working in the family business and stuff from a young age. But you see that that's not necessarily the case with the more Afro-Barbadian community per se. I don't see it as much. So I'm really glad that she had the opportunity and the privilege to be able to have that experience from the family business. But a lot of people, one, don't have the strong family unit structure already, much less then that opportunity to work in a family business, to have that work experience.
And you just said something there I want to touch on. Because listen, Barbados is really beautiful. We got a beautiful island. And it's looking prettier, but we got a lot of social work to do. You know what a young man told me this week when I was talking to him? Mm. And we, you know, in Barbados, you grew up, you hear there are different Barbadoses.
Yep. Yeah, right? 100%.
And a young man asked me, how comes the Indian community, there's no violence? And how comes the white Barbadian community, there's no violence? You know, it's just us. So, very, very interesting.
Is there not always a common denominator there, though? Because I would like to believe that simply this simple fact that we're the majority, obviously, and met the numbers seem that way.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, who's majority of the poor in Barbados?
Agreed.
You hit the nail right on the head.
You see the relation between poverty and crime and et cetera. So.
Okay.
Yes. We had the caller. They still there?
Let me make this for you. No, this is for the youth.
This is a poem called?
Yeah.
Or a contribution?
Poem.
All right, go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
On behalf of Sluggy Dan, I would like to commend Lou the Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
To the God of Prayer, answer Beijing crew. Even if you say no way, all my blessings come from you.
All right. DJ Carl.
All right, I'm not finished. Yeah, man. All right, the youth from struggle to stardom, mm-hmm. from shizzle to jizzle, from farm to five, the youth in their truth, the love facing life, mm-hmm. live to alive.
Mm-hmm.
I say capital punishment is the capital of Barbados. We have to ensure that Barbados is insured, bridging gaps between land and mineral sea, mining through the dark depths between the rock and the hard place mm-hmm. and the deep. Do vitamin C.
Mm.
Keep your promises. Keep calm and just dish. A church girl, quiet as a church mouse, loud selling fish.
Mr. Carl, we want to thank you so much for your contribution and your poem. Do you have anything you want to add in terms of you yourself, say, about what's going on in Barbados?
I actually just had one more paragraph.
All right, well, the thing is, we're looking for a contribution from you, my brother. We want some interaction, not just you reading something.
Okay, sorry. No problem.
We want to get your opinion on what's going on. How old are you?
I'm 32.
32, okay.
I would think that the youth really need a solution. They need a source of strength, and they need to be able to have the speed and resolve to be able to go through and better themselves in Barbados today, because... where they're going and where what we're giving them is really a fast food. It's really a fast food society overall. Mm-hmm. And you gotta realize that the youth are so involved in this thing. They're right at the beat that they have everything coming at them. Mm-hmm. They're in the heart. And the thing is, we need to put them at the head, not the heart. We need to put them on top, because they deserve to be on top, because they are the ones that are the best. They are the ones that are, they deserve it, because at the end of the day, they got to take care of us when we're old. So when we get old, we got to really treasure them, because they're going to be the ones ruling Barbados. They're going to be the ones at the helm, and it's going to be a technologically green Barbados and so on. So, You will got to make it right for them.
That's a great contribution, Cog. Thanks so much, my brother. Thanks for interacting with us, my friend.
Yeah, yes.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, that was last caller. Oh, Barbados. I didn't realize. Woof. All he said five.
I've never seen that much callers.
you had me up. You say five callers and then look and I see the thing just lighting up. Yeah. Like, wow.
I'm happy, Lou. You know why? Because we do have the calling program during the week. But this is an opportunity for everybody in Barbados who's not at work, mm-hmm. who's not at school, to interact with young people mm-hmm. and also get the input and see the perspective from the older people. This is definitely one of the best programs I've been a part of by far.
Yes. And the thing about it is, Barbados, we are not late. It's been great discussion, but as I said, we are all three spoken word artists in here. So,
but before you go there, we do have to say good evening to you.
Oh, yes. He is here. Sluggy, I'm song your voice. You can't hear him.
You just gotta unmute.
Oh.
He's good.
All right. Sluggy is currently tuning in from. Yes, Sluggy.
I'm here.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. Yes, manners and respect here. I'm here listening. Mm-hmm. Prayed. And I just gotta thank all each and every time Barbados. If this is not proof mm-hmm. that young people want to do better,
mm-hmm.
if this is not proof that young people are striving for better, if mm-hmm. this is not proof that young people will love to grasp opportunities, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. I was undertaking a project this week, and I was told, leave off some of them. There's too much of them young people you're mm-hmm. taking with you. Mm-hmm. You're carrying too much young people. You leave back some. You get more money than you ask for. You got more young people on the list than you say you can carry in the first place. Leave off some.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely hard. It's extremely hard for me to try to articulate why I do what I do
mm-hmm.
and what I am doing. So I'd be glad when young men like all could come on radio,
mm-hmm.
represent yourself, mm-hmm. and Barbados blast the airwaves, and Barbados calling by the numbers and support they want to do.
Yeah.
So that'd be telling all the ministers. It could be the Minister of Youth. Mm-hmm. It could be the Prime Minister. That'd be telling all these people, listen to me. These young people
mm-hmm.
ready.
Yeah.
And they got plugged out, great, all the great show. I ain't got nothing to add, but great show, great, great show. And Lou don't know the mission
mm-hmm.
is for the powers that be to know. Well, listen, they got Uncle Sluggy, and mm-hmm. my order's always there.
Mm-hmm.
Playing platforms for these other young people as well, yes. And yeah. these young people can hold it down on mm-hmm. their own and doing a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. You get me, Ollie. You get me, Lou.
Yes.
And take salute, care. Have a good time in Oslo.
Yes, and you poor horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm praying.
Yeah, so, yeah. Sluggy.
But today was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Today was a great show, Ollie. Today was a very, very good yeah. show. Today was a great show, man. I totally enjoyed it. That's the yes. truth. Thank I you totally so enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely proud.
Yeah, honestly, Sluggy, I want to thank you. Like, I want to, Barbados, Sluggy been my mentor from Bayesian World, even from Bayesian World. He's like, he was my mentor, assigned mentor from Bayesian World, but he decided he's my mentor. Like, not for Bayesian World, just my mentor. And he told me from the beginning, he told me he got a radio show, he could come in anytime, that's all he could say. Not many shows that was happening, Bayesian Red and Rain, that I just in the background, not saying anything.
Not a word.
I just come in and enjoy the vibes. Like, not even nothing. And then, so, like, one or two times, Sluggy bring me on. I was the resident young person. It's on conversation and stuff like that. And then the day come and it was here. And he's like, yeah, he was my co-host today. He's just like, okay. And he's like, I come here. I get a couple opportunities. And it even led to know that Sluggy, you know, Sluggy doing his thing up in Canada with the young people, giving the young people a chance. When Sluggy is about the young people, he understand. You just hear him talk about it, but he's more action and words when it comes to young people, and you just hear his words. Mm-hmm. So understand. So when he with me leaving and to entrust the show to me, honestly, Sluggy, I'm honored and I want to thank you so very much for everything you've done. I want to thank you for this opportunity. I know, like, I just be walking the road and people say, I enjoy you on the radio and stuff like that. So Barbados, if you enjoy
that
this,
that we're talking about.
I just want
that to, we're talking about. Listen to me, right, Lou. Don't let the newspapers, don't let these dub songs, don't let these gangsters fool you. Man, it's one feel appreciated. You one feel you walk and shit, somebody tell you, and you like you hear it from your radio, you sound good. Mm. Yeah, just want that in life. Listen, what you do your point, bro. And somebody told you hard, feel good.
Yeah,
who don't want to feel good?
There's Matt Madea.
Being minus a 30, you know, so 30 get with that. Nothing is wrong with feeling good, brother. I just need that. I just love to get that to loving people. Tell me what you love me.
I'm showing love too,
I'm playing fear. Listen. Yeah, you know what I mean? I love it. And I'm hiding. And I'm pretending I love it with everything in me. Barbados man, when they see me, keep hugging me up, keep kissing me up, keep telling me what a great job he's doing, because I love it, and there's one man that I ain't gonna be ashamed for sure about he love. You know what I mean? If I go out praying and pray too.
Well, so I was about to tell you again, because you know last time I come on there, they tell you too, but I can tell you again, he's gonna give you papers all the time because he love everything you was be doing all the time, from like things like Bam Got Talent and all that type of stuff. I was always seeing you somebody that advocating for the local songs or advocating for the local artists. Advocating for the local voices. So anytime I come to this station, I can remind you and thank you each and every single time. Mm-hmm. Because you're very crucial and very essential to the rise of the Bayesian arts that been happening recently, mm-hmm. and the renaissance and that type of vibe. You are very essential to it, and they just want to give you peer praise and respect again.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk,
you know,
to give you flowers.
Malachi, speaking of which, you're taking part in an event next week. Yes. Next weekend is called The Gathering,
yes.
Day of Significance, July 27th, 2024, at the Ocean Echo Stables, Newcastle, St. John. Doors open at 6 p.m. Showtime is 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi, Tafai, Samsungs, and many more. Admission is $30. Once again, The Gathering, Day of Significance, July 27th. That's next week, Saturday. Ocean Echo Stables, Newcastle, St. John. Two lovely people, Ianity and Samantha. They run the stables.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open at 6. Showtime is 8 p.m. Malachi will be there. Tough Eye and Sam mm-hmm. Sounds and many more. Admission $30. So that's something to look that'd forward cool, to for next yes. weekend. Fantastic. Continue, guys.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And even further down along the line, August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, Malachi, Will Korn, Emancipation Village.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi, you could roll on that.
At Colombo Village, mm-hmm. there's going to be a morning set kind of around the same time as the march, as the bus march. So from like 6 to 3, and then they will probably go an evening set from 4 to 10. I will be featured in both.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Timon, and Raquan
mm-hmm.
will be featured inside of the second segment. Anything else we should say?
4 p.m. Get there for that, and mm-hmm. hopefully you get there from the morning session as well to
mm-hmm. remember the ancestors. Remembering mm-hmm. the ancestors, remembering the emancipation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Barbados, you know how Sluggy just do it. If you on the show to come promote something, you like to give a little teaser of what you could do or something. So this is the time now. We had a great discussion. We liked it. We light up the phone lines. Sluggy calling from Canada. Now it's time to put the spotlight on the young people as Sluggy likes it. So which one of you gentlemen would like to go first in terms of, you know, giving the Barbados audience some kind of teaser? Or me? You want me to start it?
Consistently putting me on the spot. I've been put on the spot so many
times. I can break the ice.
This is Lou the Bajan.
I hear thinking, you should I do contradiction or emotional refugee? What do you think?
Contradiction?
Okay, I will do this piece here. Name is Contradiction. I am a contradiction. The algorithm of my existence is a blanket of mathematical tapestry woven together with threads of contradiction. For I'm an artist who paints with words, yet I struggle with communication. That may not have made much sense, so here's my attempt at elaboration. My preferred method of communication is face-to-face. But I find myself living in a world where everything is done through an interface, where society demands you keep up with this digital pace. But it's been a struggle for me to do that, so I find myself out of place. For I'm complex. My mind is a vortex with a highly advanced cortex that doesn't translate well through text. For I am an anomaly. My mind threads the line between genius and insanity. I do not live within your reality, for I operate within my own galaxy. For my mind is a gift from the divine, and with it, I know that I will shine, for I know my place is one among the stars, even if getting there will be as difficult as flying to Mars. But I simply will not settle for less, for within my heart of hearts, I know that I am meant for greatness. And although my desires may be full of vanity, my goals are ones to uplift humanity. For I want my name, Lou the Bajan, to live on for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Next up.
You heard me, Timon. You comfortable? You ready? You go.
All right. This is Timon Howard, Barbados.
What we gonna do when the cocks and hens that's supposed to raise the chicks left them to fend for self and expect to see it true? What we gonna do when them same chicks come right back home to rest and make society hell for them, me and you? What we gonna do when the cocks and hens that's supposed to raise the chicks break away and expecting struggling chicks will see it true? What we gonna do when them same chicks come right back home to rest and make society hell for themselves, me and you? And this speaks to some of what we spoke about during this session in terms of socialization and societal state. sometimes we let the children get away because the adults themselves can't catch a break. And them can't take the time to look after their offspring, and the offspring spring out the nest and cause a mess, and there's no one to look behind and clean up after them, and them certainly ain't cleaning up after themselves, so we're dwelling in that mess. We're dwelling in the mess that came. If you look at the question of which came first, the chicken or the egg, the chicken came first for sure. But if the chicken running around like it lost its head, when in that egg, ain't got no warmth. No warmth to ensure that it's incubated with care and hatches correctly, so that as that chick grows, it can be nursed and guided correctly. And as that chick grows to a chicken itself, it understands its place in its environment and its society. If them eggs to chicks to chickens ain't had no vision of what them supposed to be, well, I don't think that free range is really what we're looking at there in a positive sense. In fact, the range so free is like open season. That's why guns blazing. I said the range so free is like open season. That's why the guns blazing, because it's not target practice on the range. It's on the road with no rhyme nor reason.
Yeah. My apologies.
That was a freestyle, correct?
For sure.
Freestyle,
that
was for sure.
For sure. The first part, the musical part, right, would have been before. But
talent. Anyway, Malachi.
So I guess in late, I guess I got to go on that similar thing.
Do your thing, bro.
Because there was a boy that was born in poverty, surrounded by the cage made to turn the poor into the convicted. And he ran through the hood with bare feet and no shirt, just shouting the man who did the same as kids. And he shouts for their names and emulate their ways, the walk, the talk, the stance, the dance. He's enchanted by the street life that he views so innocently. And his biggest smile comes when one of the men on the block give him a knock, barely understanding what it means to be locked up. All he knows is that they said, daddy coming home soon. But he never knew that soon was essentially, eventually. A vague buzzword defined by the user's idea, soon it varied, but he never queried when he barely understood the concept of time. So he just nods his head, goes home, throws his school bag on the bed, and head back outside with the men till whenever mommy says she's son outside too long and mommy tries to be strong. She tries to raise a man while being a woman who fell in love with a man that she would hate for her son to be coming, and she let her son stay outside because outside is his fun. He quickly became infatuated and enamored by the streets that caused his father to be in chains. I mean the jokes, the guys, the games, the fun, the fights, the nights, the life, the guns. He was 4 years old and could barely talk when he asked his mother for one. And when mother gave him one, he walked on the block with his toy gun tucked in his waist, walking with a limp, tried to mirror the man he'd seen. And the funny looks overcomes the serious implications, and the attention by the block is seen as sporty and not encouragement. So the behavior continues. He grows older along with his friends, becoming the next generations of soldiers in the Civil War amongst the poverty stricken. He's 14 now, and the gun that's on his waist can't be bought from a toy store. This is the real deal. He got it late last year, 45 Nick of Steel. The boss said he's young but capable to kill, and for the block he loves, you can guarantee he will. He's posted under the manga tree, breezing to after tree just like daddy did before him. He's 14, but a vet in the streets, and 10 years pass, and he father still in can't home. So he roams the streets with the father figures he seeks, wreaking havoc against those who go against that order that he's been conditioned to be a part of. Just like his father, what goes around comes back around. He's 18 now, well respected, gold chains around his neck, seen as a threat everywhere he goes. Done got hold from police many times but never told. No longer is he in the ghetto, he is the ghetto, the block is his home. It's mostly when he inside that he's feel alone. Some may say he's next up for the throne. I mean, he jumped off the port since four, so if he stick under the boss, he'll be a big one for sure. He robs, he cheats, he steals, just like his dad before. And women floods his phone, and sex comes easy in the hood, and he never heard nothing but condoms. It's bareback just like his dad's as a toddler. So when the girl down the gap tell he that she pregnant, he couldn't even be shot. I mean, he already seen death from gunshots. It takes a lot to get him shook. So he stays the same, not wanting to change his ways as a crook. He proceeds to live his life as a thug. And every single bit of respect given came with envy. His world became deadly. The streets that gave him some of his closest bonds began to take those bonds away by death or jail time. No bonds, too poor to afford bail, but he still loved the streets. Mm-hmm. It was all he knew. He began to question the purpose of the thug's life, but he felt as though he was in too deep. He felt as though leaving his streets would be like turning his back on his brothers. It's borderline cowardly, so he questions how he will have a spine by turning his back on the ghetto that is his home. He's 20 now. His kid is a year old, and he father still ain't came home. And he's still stuck in the domestic warfare that gives work to Paul Bears. He's the most respected, well, being the most paranoid that he's ever been. He gives prayers to the father while committing his sins. He constantly got to look over his shoulder because he's realizing his life coming to an inevitable end. There's two paths on this trail, and that's death or jail, and he'll prefer to be in chains than dead. But the thought of jumping off of the trail in its entirety lingers in his head, but again he questions, how can he leave the only thing he's ever known? But one night, the boy turned man was posted on the corner under the post light, eyes vigilant, selling drugs to provide for his son. He's a year and 6 months. He tell he want me just stay inside the back and he can hold on the front. He held his head down to look at a pic of his son, and when he held his head up, he seen the end of a gun pointed towards his skull, and before he could even talk, blam! The trigger pull. And his brains lay scattered across his beloved streets as blood leaks down the concrete like the River Nile, as a red sea of blood encircles his lifeless carcass, and his girl and his mother come screaming, calling, bawling for he name. And he little man stay fast asleep, tucked to sheets, tucked in the sheets, bound to repeat the cycle. What goes around comes back around. And they didn't give this boy a name because he's a combination of plenty. Many young boys and men stuck in the capitalist West doing their best to survive in a world where they are oppressed. Do you know any of these boys I speak of? Maybe one shares your blood. Do you think it's their fault? Do you still show them love? Would you believe me if I was to tell you that I'm a product of the indoctrination and mistreatment of the poor and unequal, just a deadly ball of carbon that ended up becoming a diamond in the rough? Do y'all not see these patterns and think y'all had enough? I think I had enough, and I think it's time for change. But I'm just asking questions. You give the boy a name. Thank you.
Wow. Gentlemen, your final comments, and let's wrap it up.
Yes, yes. So Timon or Malachi, any final comments?
We shall all unite. And love each other.
Yes.
Regardless of the class. Regardless of how you think that person's life is. Don't judge nobody. Everybody just trying to figure it out. The same way you're trying to figure it out too. And there's healing in love. And togetherness.
Iman?
Direct, for sure. And I believe there is a lot of love that's missing from our society. Some persons may attribute that to, you know, the distance from the lack of community. One, how you can live in the same neighborhood and not the only people that are around you. You know, the way our culture has shifted to such an individual focused one. Everybody just worrying about self and nobody really valuing others that sort of way. But at least from my perspective, like Christian perspective, for sure, you know, like you will love others as you love yourself. And it said, by this shall they know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So you can't really be saying that you love God and you're not loving your brother and your sister, you know what I mean? You can't really be saying that you love God and you see people suffering and struggling and you don't seek them to help them anywhere. You see the problems and you don't seek to bring light to them, because it's like you going here, I was hungry and you fed me not. I was naked and you clothed me not. You know what I mean? You just saw me there in struggling. And you're going to be wondering, well, Lord, when did I ever see you hungry? When did I ever see you naked, starving? Every time you stated to the least of these, who you may think, this person ain't worth nothing, this person just there on the street crying, this person just on whatever, you do that to me. So I think that's a powerful thing to remember, that everybody in society has value. And even like Audie was saying, in terms of the value of your own life, you too have value. Anybody listening to my voice right now, understand that you have value. As a human life, you have value. And you might not see it, and the people around you may not be showing it, but I just want you to entertain me in the idea that your life is worth something and that you can achieve something. It may not seem like it right now. It might seem hard right now. It might seem impossible even right now, but I promise you, you're destined for greatness.
Ali, this was a show.
It was a show before you. Barbados, I just want to make note. Timon is 20 years old.
And
I'm like 22.
Malachi is 22. So what I want to get from Malachi is your contact information in case there's anybody out there who wants to get in contact. Yes, please.
Definitely. You can hit me up on Instagram. That's definitely where I'm most active. I go under Darkheart, DarkHeartCrxw. DarkHeartCrxw. You will instantly be able to find me. I don't think I could get my WhatsApp on here.
if you want to.
If you're comfortable, you can hit me up on WhatsApp as well. 1-246-834-4376 for any inquiries, anything like that.
Just repeat that again.
1-246-834-4376 for any inquiries, anything like that. I'm always willing.
And Timon, the aspiring gospel radio announcer, let's get your contact information, please.
I will direct WhatsApp preferentially or email. So I will start with WhatsApp. So 1-246 area code 824-6027
mm-hmm.
And the email would just be timon.howard.tgn@gmail.com. First name dot last name dot tgn@gmail.com.
Yes, and for me, well, I will give my contact information, and then after I will give my final words and stuff like that. You can find me, well, mainly we'll say Instagram is the place to be, Lou the Bajan. That is LuiTheBajan. Lou the Bajan. My email is also luthebajan@gmail.com. So that's luiTheBajan@gmail.com. My WhatsApp is 1-246-827-8639. So that is 1-246-827-8639. So yes, I just wanted to say, I want to thank this show, Sluggy. I really want to thank Sluggy again for entrusting me on this show. Last week it was show he brought guests. He said this week he gave me full reins. I decided I can bring this group. This is actually our Adrian Green. He is our mentor in terms of stuff like that. We meet with him on Saturdays and stuff like that. So this is
when you say you meet with him. He's one of your mentors.
Yeah, we have this like every week we come together and just like the discussion you heard today is just a little bit of the discussion that we have every week and stuff like that. You know, so stuff like that. That's just for that's for us. That's not like open stuff. But just saying that we are mentees of Adrian Green. And I wanted to, I got shout out News on the Go, that is, I do freelance journalism and content creation, shout out the News on the Go team. And in terms of, I need to thank my family, shout out my family, so my father up in Canada, my brother with his wife, my sister, but more especially my mother. Like, I need to take this opportunity to thank my mother, because Barbados, the person I am today is because my mother. Even when, like, Ali, I'll be honest with you, I have not been the best son at all times. It has been hard, but she never gave up on me. And on Barbados, some people may not know this, I actually grew up in Silver Hill. I'm from Silver Hill. And a lot of people, when they hear a place like Silver Hill, don't think anything positive. But my mother, from a very young age, instilled the positive values in me, church and stuff like that. And I really, really, really want to thank my mother, because I wouldn't be the person I am like this day. So, yeah, shout out that. Silver Hill, no matter where I go, I will always remember from Silver Hill, because at one point in my life, I used to be ashamed of saying come from Silver Hill because of negative connotations. But now I am proud to show I'm from Silver Hill, because I want to show people you can come from what is known as the worst place and still have someone positive. So yes, that is the end of it. This,
what's your mom's first name?
Doreen.
Doreen, I just want to tell you, you've done a fantastic job. You should be very proud of your son. He is a wonderful young man. And we can't forget, we got Sluggy on Zoom to say goodbye to. Sluggy,
Sluggy, sound your voice for your people. This is your people at the end there.
You still there, Sluggy? Probably step away from the thing.
He's here.
Yes, I am here.
You
I
here?
Am here every single Saturday. And if you want me, you can find me at 434-1790. 434-1790. And every single Saturday, you will always hear something positive. I always include someone young and positive. Listen, youngsters on the inside, keep up the great work. Keep up the great work. And as long as they got breath, and as long as Barbie just gave me a platform, as long as Barbara's gave me a platform, I would always extend it. So when I seen it live on air now, my doors are always open for you all, and I seen it on air for the whole world to hear. And Ollie is always support anything that I'm doing, as long as it's positive and they include the youth. Ollie's make sure it happen no matter what you got to do. As you can see, Ollie's make sure you get work no matter what you do. So young people, this is two grown men telling you all, bring something positive and we'll give you a platform to highlight it. That's one of my easy job in the world. Bring something positive and we will highlight it. Yes. Simple as that.
Yes. So I think that's it. One final thanks to Ollie, man. Ollie's a real big brother, man. Just look out for me and say hello, brother. Like anything, he just showed me, like, thank you. So again, Barbados, I really, really hope you enjoyed the show. If by any chance you see me on the street and you watch the show, you know, come and tell me enjoy the show, because I kind of really liking this radio hosting. Sluggy keeps saying that you soon have my radio show. If you think so, you know, if you know somebody, tell somebody and say, yeah, get that boy Lulu Beijing on the radio. So if you enjoyed it, there you go. But this has been.
I ain't got the place flood over now. You see how it start with me and LaShawna bringing all the youngsters, and then Mac is pushing it, giving the youngsters the own platform, the own spotlight. That is how love is spread. All one of God do is when they get in position, do the same thing for somebody younger than one. That's all one of God do, and keep it going.
For sure.
Let me keep it going, man. Let me keep it going. Ollie.
Yes, sir.
Be a rhythm of my rhyme. This is your boy, Uncle Sluggy, and I'm out. Love.